Today we're going to end up in the Gospel of John. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, there's a pew Bible. Grab it, turn to page 1514. In the pew Bible, you're going to need it. We're going to go through the Gospel of John. And we're going to talk about somebody called the Comforter. The Comforter. You know, somebody said, well, what do you mean the Comforter? You know, the world has looked for the Comforter. I like to study my Bible and look for words in the Bible and see how many times they're used. Last week as I prepared this message and I prayed and I asked God, what should I do? He told me, he said, tell them about the Comforter. And I looked and I found the word Comforter 8 times in the King James Bible. Now, I don't know about the other versions. I use the King James, and if you use another version, that's fine. You do what you feel God leading you to. But I was saved under King James, and that's what I looked it up in, and that's what I memorized. And the word Comforter is found 8 times in the King James Bible. The first time it's used is in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by, and if you want these references, I'll give them to you as I go. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And Ecclesiastes was written by a king, the wisest man this world has ever known. His name was Solomon. He was the wisest one because God gave him wisdom. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes 4, he wrote and he said, I considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And I behold the tears of those that were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And whenever he saw that, he said, I praise the dead that were dead already rather than the living, because he said, I don't understand why all this is happening. You know, we're the same way. I don't understand why things are happening in our world today. I think it all relates to sin. Yeah. But Solomon said they had no comforter. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon said, better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. And I thought that was interesting because he didn't see a comforter anywhere. The psalmist David didn't mention the comforter, but psalmist David, though, he said he was shocked at the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And he said, verily I have cleansed my hands in vain. And he said, I've washed my heart for no purpose, he said, because of all the anguish he saw. But then the third time the word comforter is in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And that was written by the prophet Jeremiah. He was a prophet that was sent to a people, and he was told whenever God sent him, he said, I'm going to send you to a people, and they will not pay one bit of attention to you. He said, you're going to preach and preach your heart out, but they'll not pay any attention to you because they're in sin. And when Jeremiah went to Israel, he looked out over that nation and he said, Israel has grievously sinned. She has fallen from where she should be. That sounds like America today, doesn't it? Amen. And as he grieved, he said, she has no comforter, O Lord, and that brings affliction to me. There's no comfort. So where do we find the Comforter? In Lamentations, he said, the Comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. And you say, well, what do we find comfort in? Where do we find comfort in? And I can tell you, we find comfort in Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we sing a lot of songs, and I don't think we pay attention to a lot of what we sing. But we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all know that, don't you?
Yeah.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We try carrying our sins. We try carrying our ways. We try doing it ourselves. And beloved, can I tell you this? You can't do that. If you want to be blessed of God, you need the Comforter. And the only way you're going to find the Comforter is through Jesus. The fifth time The word comforter is in your Bible, is in John chapter 14. And I told you to turn there. And you can't, it's in verse number 16. But you can't read that without reading the beginning of it. So look at John chapter 14, verse 1. We've heard so many of these words. We've heard them at funerals. We've heard them in different places. We've got them ingrained in our mind. But you need to understand, when God tells us something, He tells us something in the context of whatever else is written. And in John 14, 1, the Lord tells us, He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Isn't that wonderful? He says, don't worry about this. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me.
Amen.
He didn't say believe in yourself. He didn't say believe in your neighbor, believe in your doctors, believe in your lawyers. And I'd say apologies to Jerry. Where'd my lawyer go? But He said, believe in me. Let that be your focus. And then He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I love that. King James says mansions. Some of the other versions say houses. I don't want a house. I want a mansion.
Amen.
And if Jesus builds a house, it's going to be a mansion. Amen.
Amen.
He said, in my Father's house, that's in heaven, He said, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I, myself, go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
We've got good construction people here today. They make wonderful things. But what Jesus has made for His children, He makes Himself.
Amen.
He said, I have prepared a place for you. And Jesus told him, He said, I have to go. Well, Philip, Thomas speaks up and he says, Lord, we don't know whether you go. How can we know the way? But then Jesus said in John 14, 16, and as He told him He was going, He said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no source of grace. There's no source of happiness. There is no source of heaven except through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way that you walk. He said, I am the truth. There is everything else that you hear is a lie. Buddha presents a lie. The ways of yoga present a lie. The different things that are out there, they're lies. The other methods, the Muslims believe a lie. The devil of this world comes and he makes people believe a lie lest they receive the glorious gospel of Christ. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And He said, I am the life. There is no other life but through Him.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? I want you to look at your neighbor right now and tell him Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you.
And I wish you would smile when you told him that, because some of y'all I would not buy a used car from.
Amen.
Your face looks like you're selling liver or chitlins. But He is Lord.
Amen.
And He is God. And He said, I am the way. I've got to go, He tells His disciples. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. Well, this had to frighten the disciples. But then Jesus went on to say this in verse 11 of John 14. He said, believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Jesus is the key to heaven. Then He said, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now listen to this, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Amen.
Whoa, wait a minute. How am I going to do the works that Jesus did? I'm a broken thing. I can't do that. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, this is what God wants of you.
Amen.
To do the works that he did. To do the impossible things. Jesus did impossible things everywhere He went. And look what He said. This is Jesus' words. I didn't make these up. He said, the works that I do shall He do also. And then He said, and greater works than these shall He do. Jesus raised the dead. He healed the leper. The crippled were given mobility. The blind can see. He said, you're going to do greater than I did. Not less, but greater. Now, how can that be? Jesus, he comes in, he says in verse 13, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." He said, if you do it for me, it's going to be done. If you pray it in my name, it's going to be done. He said, it's going to be done. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
But then listen to what he says next in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I told you to do. Now this is key. I'm going to come back to this in just a moment. But he said, do what I told you to do. I'm going to stop and look at y'all for a minute. I'm going to look at you till you get uncomfortable. But I want to ask you this question. Are you doing what Jesus told you to do? Have you been baptized? Are you tithing? Are you loving your neighbor? Have you stopped backbiting others? Have you stopped gossiping about others? Have you stopped judging those around you and start judging yourself? Have you loved others the way you want to be loved? Do you treat others the way you want to be treated? Are you doing all these things? Now, you notice I didn't bring up drinking or smoking or cussing, did I? But let me ask you this. Are you doing what Jesus told you to do? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what I told you to do. Now we're getting to the good part. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And look at this next one. Here's the fifth time we see the word comforter. The comforter that Solomon could not find, the comforter that Solomon grieved for, the comforter that David could not feel, and that the prophet, one of the greatest preachers of all time, Jeremiah, lamented for, Jesus said, and, look at that and. You see that and? That ties that to verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither can it know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Isn't that wonderful words?
Amen.
God says, Jesus says, he says, listen, he says, if you do what I tell you to do, I will give you the comforter. Now that word comforter is an interesting word. And I don't always like the way that some of the King James translators translate words, so I go back to the original language. But that word is the Greek word parakletos. And it means someone who comes alongside to aid. That's what it means. He says, I am going to give the comforter to you. So you'll never be alone. God will come and be with you. And he'll be there to aid you, to lift you up. That's what he does. He said he's going to be there. He's the one that I'm going to call alongside. That's what Jesus says. And Jesus said, listen, he is he's the Spirit of truth. He said the world can't know it. Beloved, we cannot compromise with the truths of this world. We cannot compromise God's word in order to blend in with what everybody else believes. But we have to hold tight to the truths that Jesus has given us. And to follow those. And to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our beings. And then what does he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he said. And beloved, when you do this, Jesus said, the comforter will come. The comforter will come. And he said, he's the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you into truth. You see, when you go to a Sunday school class, if every member in that class came prepared to receive truth that day and had confessed their sins and been doing the things God told them to do. You know, God tells you to read your Bible. Did y'all know that? 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And it judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what it says in the original language. It is God's voice to you, 2 Timothy 3:16. And it is profitable. It is always profitable. God's Word is always profitable. But when you bring His Word into your life, He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You see, when the preacher steps on your toes, it's not the preacher stepping on your toes. It is God stepping on your toes. But oh, I thank God for all the times He stomped on my toes. Amen. Because His stompings on my toes have kept me from going off the cliff. Because I, like you, am like a lemming. I can follow the crowd if I'm not careful. See, that's why we come together. So we can encourage one another and lift one another up. Are you reading His Word? Are you trusting His Word? God says, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, He shall be with you. You see, the Spirit of God is not a power. He is a person. It is God the Spirit. And that person comes upon you. And some of y'all grin whenever Ruby gets in the Spirit and falls out. But I tell you, I wish more of y'all would fall out. Amen. But not everybody falls out. But God, the Holy Spirit, He guides you in truth. He enables the teachers of the Word to do what they need to do. And it is God that walks with you as you go through the valleys. You say, preacher, why are there valleys in my life? Why can't God always leave me on a mountaintop? Can I tell you this? If you always stayed on a mountaintop, you'd never pay attention to God. Not a single one of you. Every single one of you need a valley. And when the valleys come, thank God for the valleys, because they make me realize that I am unable, but my God is able.
Amen.
There are things in this life that can break me, but there is nothing in this life that cannot break my God. My God cannot be broken. He is more powerful than anything, and my God manifests Himself when the trials come. Amen.
Amen.
He blesses us in a mighty way. And Jesus said, that Comforter, what He will do is He'll come alongside of you and He'll help you and He'll lift you up. And as Jesus speaks about this Comforter, He tells me, He says, listen, if you love me, if you obey me, He said, I'll send that Comforter. And He said, the world can't receive this Comforter. But this Comforter, when He comes, in verse 16, He says, He will abide with you forever. Now, I want you to notice, He says, that He may abide with you forever. You see, the Comforter comes and He stays with you and He dwells you. But there are times, have y'all ever had times when it seems like God is far away?
Amen.
You ever felt that? He's not, you know.
Amen.
But do you know why God seems far away? Because we're not doing what Jesus told us to do.
Amen.
We have hardened our heart to God. We have said, I'm going to follow the eye. I'm going to follow that idol, not that stone statue, but that idol I see in the mirror. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And when you do that, God's Holy Spirit is quenched. What that means is He backs off. You see, God, I heard David Rogers say this one time, and I agree with it, God is a gentleman. And God will not force you to do anything at all. He calls you to follow Him as children, as loving children. And we're called to be imitators of God. But when we decide we don't want to imitate God and we don't want to listen to Jesus, when we decide we want to normalize sin and follow the bear trap that the world follows, then we lose that power of God. I was watching a show on television the other day. I don't remember the name of it. It doesn't matter. Most of us on television is empty stuff anyway. Amen.
Amen.
But I saw this guy, he was out in the woods, and he was one of them monster movies. Anybody ever watch the monster movies? I like the monster movies, and I always think the people in the monster movies are very stupid. Because I can always tell when the monster is going to come. You know how? Because that evil music plays. And when I hear that, I always look at my wife and I said, they're so stupid. Why don't they go find a locked room? They can hear that music, can't they? And Sherry looks at me like, you're so crazy. But that music started playing. And I said, ooh, something bad's going to happen. And this guy's running through the woods and he steps in a bear trap. And it's chained to a tree. And he goes down. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know, that's got to hurt. She said, you're even sillier than I'm going to tell him. He's in this bear trap and he's yanking on the chain and he can't get loose because he doesn't have the key. And so a guy comes up with an axe. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I don't want to think. I want to watch this. This guy says, I can get you out. And what he's going to do is chop his foot off. Beloved, I don't want nobody to chop my foot off. But that's what the world does. You see, the world gets in sin, which is the devil's bear trap. And Christians get in sin, which is the devil's bear trap. And rather than repent and do the things that God tells them to do, they sit there and say, I think I can get my way out of this. So they struggle against it and they call their friends and they say, friend, what can you do? And your friend comes along and says, I've got an axe and we can chop it off. Well, that's okay if you want to walk through life with a decided limp. Amen. But I don't want to walk through life that way. I want the one who has the key.
Amen.
To come and get that bear trap off of my foot. And the one that has the key is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody else has the key. Nobody else can take sin away. Nobody else can remove that. And nobody else can empower you but Jesus. And when you come to Jesus and you give it to Him, when you give Him your sin, you give Him your life, you give Him your children, you give Him your wife, your husband, whatever you have, your business, give it to Jesus. And if you'll give it to Jesus and obey Jesus and do the things that He tells you to do, He'll lift you up. And He'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. A spirit of truth. Isn't that a wonderful truth?
Amen.
The sixth time the word comforter is in the Bible. Jesus tells them in verse 25 of John 14. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the comforter, the parakletos, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. People ask me and say, preacher, how do you know that Bible like you do? You can know it like I do too.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. You can know it like I know it too.
Amen.
It don't require a seminary degree. It requires an obedient heart.
Amen.
To put away the things that you're holding on to, that God does not want you to hold on to give it all to Jesus and do His will. When you do that, then that Spirit of God will teach you all things. And Jesus said, He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have taught you. He's not going to speak of Himself, but He's going to speak of me, Jesus said. And He's going to tell you all the things that you need to know. He's going to give you the answers. People come to me and they say, preacher, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I said, I don't know. There's a lot of times I just say, I don't know. But I know the one who does know. You give it to Jesus. And Jesus knows. I know when little Reese was diagnosed with leukemia, there were a lot of wives came to me about that. I said, I don't know. But I do know. That if you give it to Jesus, God can turn it around.
Amen.
And God can heal it. And God can use it for a blessing.
Amen.
But it all begins with following Jesus. Doing what Jesus said to. Some of you are sitting there saying, well, God's telling me today I need to walk that aisle. I need to give myself to Jesus wholly. I need to be baptized. I need to get right with God. I need to make my finances right with God. I need to get straight. I need to get my mind straight. I need to stop following other idols. I need to stop following different things. I need to follow Jesus. And God's speaking to your heart today. And you're sitting there going, but then you're arguing with God. Can I tell you from experience? I haven't won one argument with God in my entire life.
That's right.
Not one. And don't believe I haven't argued with God. When my 17-year-old boy died, I said, God, I'm going to quit you. I'm going to walk away from you, and I'll never preach the word again. And God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. God owns me. And if God don't own you, then the master that owns you is a pitiful master. You need God to own you.
Amen.
Some of you are holding back. I can see it. God's given me the spirit of discernment. I can almost see it like a black cloud over your head. You're holding back. I'm not going to give it to Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to talk you into it, but God will.
Amen.
But you have a choice. You can follow Jesus and be empowered by God's Holy Spirit, or you can keep on following yourself and find yourself in a whole mess of trouble. I prefer to go the easy way. Amen. I prefer that. Jesus said that comforter, he's going to come. Then look what he said. If we go to chapter 15, you said, preacher, you're doing a sermon and a half today. No, I'll finish up pretty quick. I had somebody tell me that one day. They said, preacher, you preached a sermon and a half today. I said, thank you. They said, that wasn't a compliment. I'm not going to preach a sermon and a half today, but I want to follow this chain about the comforter, if that's okay with you. If you've got to be somewhere right now, just get up. I won't judge you.
Amen.
If you got a donut craving coming on, just get on up. I understand addictions. Amen. But I'll be done in 2 minutes if you'll listen. In the next chapter, chapter 15, Jesus wasn't done with the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, the seventh time the word comforter is found in the Bible, he said, when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will tell you all about me. And then there's that pesky little word, and again. God, why do you keep putting ands in the Bible? I wish God would just put a period and stop, don't you? But the very next verse, in verse 27, he says, and ye also shall bear witness. You're going to tell others about me. Why is it that Christians are not telling others about Jesus? Because Christians are not being obedient to God. You say, if you're obedient to God, then you'll tell those around you about Jesus. I had a lady call me this week from another church I used to pastor, and she was distraught, and she was torn all to pieces. She said, Brother David, my little granddaughter, she came out of the closet today, said she's a lesbian. I don't know what to do. I said, honey, have you told her about Jesus? She said, oh, I've told her all about Jesus from the time she was little. But see, I know this lady. This lady, for the entire time, 7 years, I was in another church. She'd follow Jesus sometimes here. Then she'd do whatever she wanted to over here. And she'd follow Jesus over here a little bit. Then she'd wander off over here a little bit. And let me tell y'all something. The children are watching you.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. The children are watching you. The other day, I went over to see Reese, me and my wife, and it was a beautiful time with her. But I noticed little Reese, she couldn't take her eyes off of me. That baby watches.
That's right.
I've seen babies in this church when I'm preaching, and they're watching. You see, following Jesus don't mean to just do it for a little bit, but it means when you go home, you follow Jesus.
Amen.
When you go to work, you follow Jesus.
That's right.
When you go out to party, you follow Jesus. Amen. He said, oh, we use that party word. It's okay to party.
Amen.
Just don't drink. Amen?
Amen.
I think we ought to be happy people.
Amen.
I wish you'd tell your neighbor that. I think we ought to be happy people.
Amen.
I have a lot of fun as a Christian. I don't know about y'all, but I have a great... I'm living my best life right now, but it's going to be better in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
But I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing y'all's faces every Sunday. Most of you. Amen.
Amen.
And I can say that to make it lighthearted, but are you following Jesus? That baby's looking at. I told her, I said, if you told the baby about Jesus, she said, I have. I said, no, darling, you haven't. You need to repent and follow Jesus all the time.
Amen.
Your children are watching you, your grandchildren are watching you, your great grandchildren are watching you, and they're going to go the way that you show them. You got to follow Jesus. Finally, the last time, the eighth time the word comforter is in this. Jesus said in verse 7 of chapter 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus said, it's necessary for me to leave. Now, if I'd heard that, I'd have been like the rest of the apostles. No, it's not better for you to go away, Jesus. I want you to stay right here. You know, if Billy Graham were still with us and he were preaching today, I'm sure this would be a packed house today. I'm sure it'd be standing room only for Billy Graham. People would come in his place to see it. Now, that's okay. I understand that. But it's the same thing for Jesus. If Jesus were here today, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I'd be down there with y'all, wanting to get close to his feet. Jesus said, it's better for you to go away. They said, Jesus, why is that? He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. See, that's what the church is supposed to do. We're not supposed to say yes to the wrong way of life. We're supposed to say no. God has said no. There's no one sin bigger than the other sin, but we're supposed to say no. God said no. He said when the Spirit has come, he'll reprove the world of righteousness. The right way is in Jesus. And he said, and I will reprove the world of judgment. That there is a certain judgment coming. Oh, there's a judgment coming for everybody in this room.
Amen.
Some of you one day will stand before Jesus and be judged, and your works will be judged that day. And he's going to look at everything you did in this life. And the things that you did that were worthy, you'll receive a reward from our Lord. Isn't that a great thing?
Amen.
But the works that you did not do, or that you failed to do, or the things you did not do, all the things that you did that were wrong, and there's going to be a whole bunch of them.
Amen.
I'm hoping when I stand in front of Jesus, it's just me and him. Aren't you?
Amen.
I don't want y'all to see all my stuff, but I think when we get to heaven, we're all going to see everybody's stuff.
Amen.
But then there's another judgment. And it's a great white throne in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. And the Bible tells us that those who stand in front of that great white throne are going to go into a lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. I don't want to go there. I was cooking a pizza for my wife the other day. I got some of it too. Amen. And I burnt myself on the stove. You ever do that? I don't willingly want to burn myself. Some of you have normalized sin in your lives and you think God will look the other way when you die. But can I tell you this? You're either in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, or you're not. If you're not, this morning's a good time to get right.
Amen.
To get your life where it needs to be. Please don't leave this place without Jesus. Please don't leave this place without the Comforter. The Comforter got me through the death of a 17-year-old, the death of two parents, and my wife's two parents. It's got me through so many times.
Amen.
The Comforter got me through there. Not me, the Comforter. Oh, I thank God. Jesus, and I thank God for the Comforter, don't you?
Amen.
Lord, we love you so very much. Lord, we thank you so much for your Comforter. We thank you, Lord God, for every person that's here today. Lord, make us a people of the book. Lord, let us give our lives completely and wholeheartedly to you, Lord, and I pray that if there be any lukewarm Christians here today, Lord, that have forgotten their first love, let them make that confession before you, Lord. There are so many times I fail you, Lord. But one thing I've learned, when I sin, I confess it as soon as possible and get back on the path. For Lord, I do not wish to quench your Spirit or to anger my Father. And Lord, I pray if there's any lost here today, I pray that today would be the day that they would say yes to you, Jesus. Jesus, you died for every man, for every woman, for every child. And let the day be the day of salvation where they will call upon you. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said.
Amen.
1 Corinthians. Don't we serve a wonderful God? Remember the things we got to do, our building committee and trustees. Anybody like to come in the final look, come and look at the drawings this coming Tuesday at 4:30. I'll get all the words out. My mind gets feeble anymore, Ruby.
It won't get better.
It ain't going to get better. I showed it and want you to say that.
Sorry, but that's...
But anyway.